Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, 1798part2.org, and that's a play on what Jefferson and Madison did, and there's a huge relationship between that. If you haven't been listening to all of the shows, then that's a good reason why you'd probably want to listen to download the podcast and listen to those as well. There's one other site that's also supporting this, and that is republicreview.org. As I mentioned in the very beginning, MobiusStripPress.com, the only one .com or the only commercial site that we have, and that's where you can get the books. So I would be at a miss if I did not say this already. We're really coming close to the end of the wire for the primary in Wyoming. So it is critical that we get out and get some support. Just a couple of bucks, folks. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to take, you know, dog food out of the bowl. I'm not trying to do anything like that. What I'm trying to do is get those people who have committed to the Constitution. This is critical. If you're not happy with the party system, if you're not happy with the establishment, if you're not happy with the way we're going blue and how the progressives are ramming Agenda 21, globalist policies and so forth down our throats, these guys are the only ones that actually have a process and are on board with that process called Republic Review that is going to stop this. Which means that you're also listening to the only show that actually has a tangible and actually a constitutional solution in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. And so I kind of have mentioned the dedications, but I sometimes don't go into the importance of downloading our podcast. And you can get those at reclaimingtherepublic.org. There's all sorts of good reasons. I usually give you three, but I'm just basically going to tell you that you can get those at reclaimingtherepublic.org. I hopefully will be really close. And the intent of this crowdfunding, by the way, is to help fund those who are actually supporting this and getting the message out. This is going to go to paying for content and so forth. I would like to say this, that there is an incredible need, and I think most every American, red-blooded American that loves the Constitution, wants to save this republic and wants to undo all of the things that the Bushes, Clintons, and all the different globalists over the century, the Roosevelts and so forth, what they have done to this country and to our Constitution. Obama trampling on it. They've all been trampling on it. And as I've told people before, Obama's only taken the leverage that the others, tramplers, have already put in place and used those as fulcrums to, you know, move us further down the road, or down the slope, I should say. Anyway, I would ask that you understand that Strzok got fired yesterday, and he's received $250 million in a GoFundMe account. And so I'm hoping that we'll do just as well, that there's lots of people out there that are just ready to throw money into, and you will know where that money's going to go, because we're going to disclose where those expenditures go, and that will be on the 1798part2.org website. If I just have to put up a white website with just black text, that's what we'll do. I've been trying to get help, and I got some help, but it wasn't really help at all. And don't you hate it when you go to all the effort of trying to get help, and then it's not help at all? And so, and that's just because of interoperabilities and where applications will work well together and so forth. Anyway, I use Dreamweaver, and it is a little bit more cumbersome than some other website management, website editing tools out there. But anywho, I need to grovel. I want to get into groveling. We're trying to fly through this. And as a matter of fact, when we hit September timeframe, end of this month, sometime in September, I'm not going to be going through a lot of this stuff. I may go through it maybe once every other week or so. You know, the little diatribe that I go through in the very first segment of, you know, what we're all about, what we're trying to do, and that type of stuff. I know our audience is growing, but there's just more and more content that we need to get into. And I just think it's really more important to start marketing, especially as we start heading to the election. My local show is dedicated to the local election, and this show is dedicated to the, I'll just call it the national election, in those races that are critical in getting people in to supporting the Constitution. I am absolutely tired of supporting parties. I'm tired of the parties dividing us, conquering us, and literally sliding us down this road. So if you want to help, and you can help, if you've got a phone, a computer, and you kind of have some literacy, I will help you. We have the tools to do what we need necessary, but we will help you, and we will get you there, especially if you're like the trailblazer, the pioneer in your state. We don't have anybody there. We can use your help. So by all means, just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And that will, you know, trigger me to trigger you in what you need to do. And hopefully we can work together, because that's what it takes. And I know I could go on. I'm going to be publishing an article. I'm going to be posting, I should say, posting an article this Friday regarding the election in Wyoming. And so I'm going to try to get that out to as many Facebook pages as possible so that people can start understanding how important this coming primary is. I know today's a primary, and I don't have any dogs in that fight, so it's not like I've got any expectations other than, you know, let's just try it. I look at all the other races in every other state and in every other campaign as damage control. We don't want to lose seats to outright progressives. It's bad enough that we've got establishment folks that we have to send in because they're no help. They're basically progressives with an R label, but they at least have, you know, this conscience that they know that if they get caught doing things that are outright progressive, then they'll be called out and they will have to, you know, kind of answer for that. But those who are long-term, I should say, elected servants or public servants, those folks tend to, they just become cavalier because they go, you won't replace me. I'm at too high of a level. You know, I'm the number fourth ranking person. I'm the, you know, I've been here the longest. I really don't care. I don't care how long you've been not doing things for us. I really don't. What I care about is getting these people replaced. And so a part of the work that we're doing and a part of this focus for Reclaiming the Republic and moving to Republic Review is we're going to have to move and we're going to have to hurt some people. And what I mean by that is we're going to have to bump people out of these positions so that we can get constitutionalists into these positions. Because if we're not centered on the Constitution, then we're likely being taken advantage of and being moved down a path of an agenda. Well, before I go into any more of these rants, I do want to say this because I think this is marketing, and I think this is my little poke in the eye for everybody, that as I look through the news and as I look at the calamities and the train wrecks and all the other distractions that are going on, that we talk about every once in a while, there's no sign. There's zip, nilch, nada. No sign of the federal government actually relinquishing any of its controls and its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers that is usurped from the states. So because it's not going to relinquish those, because it's not going to give back to the rightful owner of who should have those roles, responsibilities, and powers, which are the states, that means that we have to do this. We have to move forward in forcing the states to do their job, to do exactly what Madison and Jefferson told them to do in 1798 Part 1. So this is 1798 Part 2, And this is where we're starting to educate. I'm telling you, when people actually read my thesis, when you go read my bullets that are right there on reclaimingtherepublic.org, it's just right there on the homepage. I've got my academic argument that you can't refute. I'm welcoming anybody to call in and tell me that they can refute this, that no, you can't do this. Because you read that, and then you read the description of Republic Review and what the steps and processes are. I kind of made it easy for the state legislators of what to do, kind of connect the dots for them. And then you look at the model and go, okay, this all makes sense. This is not an Article 5 convention. This literally is a solution to federal government compliance. So if you want to try to refute that, then I would ask that you read Thomas Jefferson and James Madison's resolutions for Kentucky and Virginia in 1798, and it will jump out of the page for you. It'll be very clear that what GR is doing is exactly what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did. It's just got a modern vernacular. I've got a model. I've actually documented it for you. And what I have done is literally extrapolated from these men exactly what needs to be done based on their writings and their the paradigms that they've provided in some of their writings, such as Federalist Paper number 49, Jefferson's Notes on the State of Virginia of 1784. Anyway, I'm at a hard break. And so I do have a few little snidbits, but we want to get into, and I want to finish today, George Washington's farewell address. I think it is critical that we kind of cover that so that we can get into that. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so when we were going into the break, one of the things I wanted to say as I was kind of looking at all the, because every once in a while we actually talk about the hosts and so forth of these hours and all of that. With Red State Talk Radio, the owner and so forth, and as I talked to some of the other hosts. And a lot of them recognize that this slot right here, the 3 o'clock slot PST, 6 o'clock slot East Coast time, EST, or EDT, EPDT, because it's daylight time right now, But anyway, the reason why these guys were poking me and saying, you know, that's the toughest slot, because if you look, that's where a lot of talent either, you know, Glenn Beck is being replayed and Mark Levin comes on and, you know, Savage and all these, you know, pretty big names are literally jumping into this slot. And they said, you know, you really, you know, that's a tough slot to take. And I go, not really. Maybe I'm a little arrogant, but maybe when you understand that you actually have the only solution and that none of those other hosts can refute that, boy, there's no doubt in my mind. And I believe there's a reason why they have never had the insights and understanding what is necessary to basically develop this Republic Review and extrapolate what Madison and Jefferson did, because they are so focused on their market and their you know, their image marketing and all that type of stuff. Because they are masters of market space. They are great entertainers. They are. My hat's off to them. But they don't have the solution. And so as I poke back to my fellow host and the owner, because it's about a year, coming up November, I'll be hitting a year, we were talking about what slot did I want to take. And I said, give me the 3. I will take the 3 o'clock slot, because I don't believe it will take that much time, especially as we start creating the dialogue in 2019 in Idaho and in Wyoming and possibly Tennessee. 3 states will actually start talking about this concept called Republic Review and auditing the Constitution. And those hosts will have to go, well, I don't really know what that is. And then they will probably be very dismissive, like a lot of people are, because it doesn't support them. It doesn't bring money to them. And I don't make it, if you notice, I don't have a lot. I would love to have people supporting and sponsoring the show. I really would. I don't have a lot of time to go and chasing people, because I am actually working and trying to make this work. And if you talk to Douglas V. Gibbs, a show host down in Southern California, he will tell you GR is a man on a mission. And when he accomplishes that mission, he's going to bail out. The only reason why I will stay on the air and the only reason I will continue to provide insights and pushing and what have you is if there is actually a need for it, because I want to get out of this and I want to dismiss any types of needs. I don't want to say dismiss, that's not the right word. I want to move any types of obstacles and what have you, because getting out of doing this talk show is critical for me to start doing some of the other things, because as the Republic Review is forming and as the states are literally pulling together, there are going to be some real questions. That's why book 3 has never been published. What you see actually on my website there on the reclaimingtherepublic.org in those bullets, the descriptions of Republic Review, that's actually extrapolated out of book 1 and out of book 3. Book 1, I kind of talk about it. That was the genesis of my, or the very beginning of these insights of auditing and how to do this. And then in book 3, when I wrote that, what, in 2015, 2014, 15, the rest of it was really, you know, kind of polished and everything, what the processes and so forth were really coagulated and solidified in book 3. And so actually, I don't like plugging my books. As a matter of fact, if you go through and listen to every single show, I think I may have mentioned them once, twice or something like that. Because it's really not about, you know, me trying to peddle books and me trying to make money. If you buy my books, that money will literally go right back into this process of, you know, spending on putting content out. It's the same thing with the GoFundMe. All of this money is not coming to make me a rich person or to buy me better market space and people to, you know, help me in, you know, growing my campaign or my individual wealth and station. That is not what I'm doing. But if you read my books, my first book, the very first section, and actually I'll give you a macro view. These 3 books that I've written are actually 7 books. The first book is 4 books. I had to put all four books together so that you would literally walk away with an understanding of what we need to do, because to me that was the most important. So the first book is really a historical narrative on liberty. The second book is the innovation of a new nation. How was it that our framers were capable of, creating a nation in a concept that was just unfathomable? When Sherman came forward with the two constituents and recognizing two sovereigns, I've read to you out of the ratification debates where these men were literally going, "Are you kidding me? Two sovereigns? How can this be? There can never be two masters. One will consume the other." And so they didn't really understand until they started really looking into those details, the difference between the Senate and Congress, because the sovereigns in our government, both state and within our federal government, is Congress or our legislators, because in their paradigm, the sovereigns were those who were able to create the laws to inflict upon the people. And or to protecting the people. They were the ones that had that ultimate say, because the executive, the governor and president, they only faithfully execute. And the court system is only supposed to interpret whether the, that's in the law or not, whether that's in the contract or not, or so forth. And so that second book is literally, just what and how they innovated this new nation, unlike any other. And then the third book is the obfuscation of the Constitution, how right out the gate we literally started obfuscating and getting away from, and how it has been a long series of events, whether they be by design or literally a coincidence that somebody would do something or create a ruling or what have you. But the point is, these were like setting up dominoes, and the last dominoes are being put in place to literally discard our Constitution and move us into, because as we continue to spend money unconstitutionally outside the contract, and we allow the federal government to literally run us amok that is outside their constitutional powers, they're violating the Constitution. By the time they discard the Constitution, the only hope we have, I want you to listen to this, the only hope that we have is if the state legislators understand their authority over the Constitution and seize it at that point, if they have not already started calling for republic review, to tell the federal government, to tell Congress, the president, and the Supreme Court that it is not their contract, it is the state's, that only they have the power to discard it, that they need to check and look at who the sovereigns are over the Constitution and all things not delegated. Because there's nowhere in the Constitution where the federal government has the power to, one, put it aside, to discard it, or to set up any other new form of government. And until those amendments have been given and delegated to the federal government, they can't do it. And so it's critical that we start having these conversations in the state legislative offices. That's why I keep begging you to please contribute to these few folks that are in Wyoming in this campaign. It would be very critical, and it would be very helpful in getting them the money they need, because it costs money to compete against these establishment status quo politicians that they're trying to beat out. Taylor Haynes needs to be the governor. He would be the leader and champion. He signed the pledge that he would champion the state legislatures in doing their job and helping educate. If he becomes the governor of Wyoming, he will get Wyoming on track faster than I can do it, because he's a leader and is willing to do that. Now, these other four state legislators, they can at least start the conversation, but they have to get in. Three of these men are literally fighting establishment status quo politicians, and they have an uphill battle. That's why they need money. Only one of these is an open seat, and I'm trying to get these other, but I'm telling you, I've talked to a couple of other senators and representatives that do not have a contested battle. They don't have a contested race whatsoever. And what I'm dealing with is the fact that they have no motivation. There is no leverage. I do not have a fulcrum because they don't have an opponent in this general election and in the primary election. So Why would they have to sign a pledge? They would only sign a pledge if they felt like they needed to undo something. And so as we get backing, as Bob Schultz and the We the People Foundation actually get freed up and can start joining in and helping, and other organizations start getting on board, because after this primary, I'm going to be working with and pleading with other organizations to seriously look into helping and coming on board with Republic Review. I'm not trying to create an organization. That's the beauty of this. If I don't create the organization, then I'm not tied to it. I'm literally working. And why? There's already all of these enough structures out there. I'm just trying to get everybody to come together on that one common square foot of we the people, the Constitution, and the principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. As you can tell, I'm in a heartbreak, so please stay tuned. I'm going to get into George Washington's farewell address in this next segment, so we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yes, as I was saying, and as a matter of fact, I went down a couple of rabbit holes and down a tunnel, and I kind of got off track. So I was talking about my books, and what I was talking about was the first book, how there's literally four books. And that third book within it, I was talking about the obfuscation of the Constitution. I go through the String of Kings. I go through the robes in black, or the black robes, the oligarchy in black, whatever. I go through Congress and how they have been the most culpable. But the String of Kings, literally, that's what we've had. Has since Andrew Jackson, he was the first king, and we've had a king ever since. My point is that in the fourth book is where I provide the constitutional fix to our constitutional problem, which is the subtitle of the book. And so I have to kind of create this argument of liberty, the ingenious insights that the framers were inspired by the divine hand of providence in creating this constitutional republic. Thirdly, how easy it was for us to get off of it because we did not focus. Just like I've said, because we have the Bill of Rights, there was a good likelihood that we were going to get off track because people felt that we were protected when we really weren't. And in this solution, I go through the auditing process. Now, there were some terms and concepts that I didn't necessarily understand and had been corrected. If you'd listened to my interview with Douglas Gibbs, he kind of clarifies the fact that, yeah, I didn't know. And as we corrected those and I fine-tuned it, by the time the third book got done, as far as writing it, I was able to literally extrapolate the bullets and all of that just recently. And that's basically what people want. They want to see, they want to have a picture. They want a line and block chart for it to make sense to them. But book two was the strategy of what we needed to do, and I'm literally working on that. And in some cases, I am, because that was really a pie in the sky book. In some cases, I was literally spot on some of this, but I was naive to think that, you know, some of these other conservative entertainers would come on board with this. If it doesn't serve them, then I cannot see how they can justify coming on board and supporting Republic Review and that type of thing. In all honesty, if you understand the magnitude of Republic Review, it will make a lot of these folks unemployed because we're going to shift the focus from the national stage from now on back to the states and some of the great things that the states are going to be able to do because they're going to be getting all their power back from the education, health, all these health and human service, these departments that are unconstitutional will be dismantled, folks. If you understand that, then what that means is that the focus will shift because all of this unconstitutional government will move back to the states. The states will have the responsibility of doing that. The federal government will not be able to spend us into oblivion and literally use our money to transfer wealth to all sorts of nations around the world. And energy is a huge process in doing that, and they've been using energy, banking, and a lot of different things, and devaluing our dollar and moving us financially in a direction to towards our next calamity. Isn't that nice? Aren't they sweet? Anyway, so I figured I would give you an insight on those books because I don't think I have done that ever yet. But in the news front, I'm really glad if you didn't hear that there's new defense bill that came out had a senator from Arizona's name, and I'm really glad that Trump didn't mention that senator's name. He's a bitter progressive that deliberately has undermined the Constitution enough to deserve a treason trial, as far as I'm concerned. But because he's got these real health problems, then I guess, you know, we won't charge him. But there's nobody with the backbone or even the understanding of how egregious these violations are from him and a lot of the other senators and I should say House of Representatives and so forth. I mean, why do we not start holding them accountable like they should be? Treason is a very tough word, but I'm telling you, we need to get to a point, and I've got an idea for this, and my idea is creating an act that any lawmaker that drafts a law that is considered a violation of the Constitution, whether that be the state constitutions of your state legislator, or if it's the U.S. Constitution as a U.S. legislator, or even a state legislator as well for the U.S. Constitution, if you draft an initiative, a law, or what have you, and it is a violation, then you will be charged with treason. And so we need to, unfortunately, we need to start putting teeth back into treason. I mean, what does that word mean? People think it means giving aid and comfort to the enemy. That is not the definition. That is what they define as one of the things in the Constitution, but that does not necessarily mean the definition. If you are directly violating the laws of the land and the Constitution knowingly or even unknowingly, that is treason. It's the same thing as giving aid to the enemy. It is weakening us, it is undermining us. And it is, tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that that's not treason. And so I would love to see a lot of senators and congressmen start to dance. I do want to mention that there is, seems to be this real aha empowerment of people being able to goat you into stating, because there's been a lot of cases on Trump where he's been goaded by people in talking, you know, very viciously or I should say out of hand with regards to women, how he treats them and so forth, and or saying things. And we have to start just thinking as a society that anybody that is willingly recording and goading somebody in a conversation, culpable, equally culpable, because there's this court term, and I forget what it is, but I've heard it before, that when the plaintiff comes in and lays their charges, if they've got blood on their hands, or in other words, they're doing something illegal as well in trying to entrap you or what have you, then there is no case in court. And so there's no way that somebody can actually take an illegal recording and go into court and say, hey, this guy did me wrong. Listen to what he said. Sorry, that's entrapment. And so there has to be a process that we as a society literally starts going after people that's doing that. It's the same thing with these felonious charges like Judge Roy Moore and all of these other aha, me toos or what have you. I'm just sick of this. We have been debased so much that we're chasing our tails because we have lost our moral compass. I think this is interesting as well, that the West Virginia lawmakers actually impeached every single one of their jurists, their Supreme Court jurists. And I think that every other state should start looking at it because they went after them for financial spending and so forth. So I think that there is probably merit that we can find out there in many of these other cases and so forth. I could talk about, and what I'll do is I'm going to talk about that tomorrow, about the party takeovers and what we need to do and so forth. But I want to get into George Washington because he's still talking about parties and he's going to talk about the Constitution. And as I was stating yesterday, and I was editorializing in this, but before I read anything, I always like to say, are the words that I'm reading from our framers, like George Washington, Madison, and so forth, are these the words of lies and deceit? In other words, are they trying to get us to believe that this is something other than what it is? Or have we been lied to and deceived by our education system, politicians, lawyers, professors, and so forth? Because somebody's lying because they're not jiving with what the framers are saying, or the framers are not jiving with what we're hearing and learning in school. So who's lying? And that's the question I pose to you. And this is what George Washington says in his farewell address, and this is paragraph 25, and I see I've got less than a minute. There is an opinion that parties in free countries are useful checks upon the administration of the government and serve to keep alive the spirit of liberty. This within certain limits is probably true, and in governments of monarchical caste, patriotism may look with indulgence, if not with favor, upon the spirit of party. But in those of popular character, what he's talking about is a democracy. Those in a democracy form of government, in governments purely elective, that's a democracy, and that's not what we have here, folks, but that's what we've become. It is a spirit not to be encouraged. From their natural tendencies, it is certain there will always be enough of that spirit for every salutary purpose, and there being constant danger of excess, the effort ought to be force of public opinion to mitigate and assuage it. A fire would not be quenched. It demands a uniform vigilance to prevent its bursting into flame, lest instead of warming, it should consume. And so what he's basically talking about is that we have to be very, very careful because the parties will literally take over and start ruling and moving. And if you listen to some people, they will start dictating policies instead of our lawmakers, our representatives making policies and getting the people to say, give us food, give us health care, give us dental care, take care of our babies, give us cigarettes, give us, you know, any and every want and desire. And that goes to the Alexander Teitler's democracy, circle of democracy. But I met that hard break. So when we come back, I will be getting into the two paragraphs where Jefferson talks about, not Jefferson, George Washington, in his farewell address, talks about the Constitution and compliance to it and how important that is. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so the first paragraph that Washington, I'm going to get it right, and as a matter of fact, before I get into this, in that promo, I talk about the Article 5 Convention and how Congress has to apply. If you understand what Thomas Jefferson and James Madison did in 1798, they didn't apply to Congress. What they did was it was like the father speaking to the mother. Hey, do you know what the kid's doing? Yeah, it's getting a little out of hand. We never gave the kids the keys to the car. Why is the kid driving the car? Okay, well, so we need to get, you know, the rest of the parents in the neighborhood together because all the kids are driving cars. And so we need to, you know, reel them in. Because the states are the parents of the federal government. If they did not delegate the power to the federal government for education, for health care, and you will not find an amendment for them, the Department of Transportation, Energy, so forth and so on. There are 12 unconstitutional executive departments. Therefore, the states don't need to apply to Congress to make an amendment to the Constitution. They have the authority of enforcement. And that's precisely what Jefferson and Madison did. That's how simple this is. Anyway, back to Washington and what Washington had said. In the 16th paragraph, Washington says this: to the efficiency or to the efficacy and permanency of your union, a government for the whole is indispensable. No alliance, however strict, between the parts can be an adequate substitute. They must inevitably experience the infractions and interruptions which all alliances in all times have experienced. Sensible of this momentous truth, you have improved upon your first essay by the adoption, and when he says first essay, he means the Articles of Confederation, by the adoption of a constitution of government better calculated than your former for an intimate union and for the efficacy, management of your common concerns. This government, the offspring of your own choice, uninfluenced and unawed, adopted upon full investigation through the ratification debates and mature deliberation, again, in those ratification debates, completely free in its principles in the distribution of its powers, uniting security with energy and containing within itself a provision for its own amendment. So in other words, the beauty of this thing is that it actually contains within itself a provision for making amendments, has a just claim to your confidence and your support, respect for its authority, compliance with its laws, acquiescence in its measures, are duties enjoined by the fundamental maxims of true liberty. The basis of our political systems is the right of the people to make and alter their constitutions by government. But the Constitution, which at this time exists, till changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all. The very idea of the power and the right of the people to establish government presupposes the duty of every individual to obey the established government. So this is where he kind of sets the tone that you know, the only way we can make these types of changes is through an amendment process. And so as we move forward into that, because that was obviously paragraph 16, as we move all the way down to paragraph 26, he joins to this in this paragraph, this whole concept of it is important likewise that the habits of thinking of a free country should inspire caution in those entrusted with its administration to confine themselves within the respective constitutional spheres. In other words, the legislators legislate, the presidents, you know, are the executives and enforce the laws, and the supreme, in other words, staying within their spheres of powers that have been delegated to them and created via this Constitution, avoiding in the exercise of the powers of one department to encroach upon another, just like I was saying. The spirit of encroachment tends to consolidate the powers of all the departments in one, and thus to create, whatever the form of government, a real despotism. A just estimate of that love of power and proneness to abuse it, which predominates in the human heart, is sufficient to satisfy us of the truth of this position. The necessity of reciprocal checks in the exercise of political power by dividing and distributing it into different depositories and constituting each the guardian of the public will against invasions of the others has been evinced by experiments ancient and modern, some of them in our country and under our own eyes. To preserve them must be necessary as to institute them. If, in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation. For though this, in one instance, may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. The predicament must be always greatly overbalance in permanent evil, any partial or transient benefit, which the use can at any time yield. And so he's basically saying that as we have allowed as we sat here and have watched the federal government usurp these powers, telling us and hoodwinking us, oh yeah, we can create this Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior, the Department of Labor and Commerce. Oh yeah, these are all within the Constitution. They're not. They were never given, the states never delegated those powers to them. The Commerce Clause was clearly defined within the ratification debate as only a vehicle for the court to help deal with the disputes between states. That was it. The states were free to create commerce to their desires, as well as the federal government only having, and that's why the Treasury Department at that point in time was the manager of importing and taxing exports, and I should say imports. They weren't able to tax exports. To understand what we have done by allowing the federal government to usurp these things, the only process, and I got to be clear on this, the only process, and if Jefferson was sitting behind this microphone right now, he would tell you that the states have to stand up, they have to assert their authority, and they need to instantly start creating committees of correspondence amongst each other, calling out what their plan is and strategize and create a stratagem in going after the federal government and making sure that they're rebuked and that they pull back all of these powers that are the state's powers, and in doing so, making sure that Congress, the President, and the Supreme Court understand that they will never be tolerated in doing these things ever again. And so a part of that, if you read those bullets of the description, a part of that is forcing Congress to writing resolutions to say and admit that they usurped this power, that they had no authority, that the states did not delegate this through the only prescribed process. Because right now, folks, there's only one prescribed process to make something constitutional. It's called the Article 5 process. It's not called the Supreme Court process. It's not considered the EO process, nor the Congressional Act process. Even though we may love the Civil Rights Act, it is not an amendment to the Constitution. Even though we may love a few things that the federal government is doing that is unconstitutional, the only process is the Article 5 process. If we allow them to violate the Constitution in one facet and in one form or another, then what we have, my friends, is tyranny, because the Constitution is very, very clear that the states are the final arbiters, that only the states can delegate these new powers, roles, and responsibilities. Check it for yourself. That's what exactly why Article 5 gives the states the final say with 3/4, and it's a big bar to get over. I mean, you have to get 3/4. That's 38 states, folks. You have to get 38 states on board. Okay? So my point is that as these states start pulling together, then you will actually start seeing the states actually flexing their power. And we'll get into some of that down the road. I've already kind of covered that. That's one of the reasons why you want to listen to the podcast, so that you can understand, because it's a fire hose. You're definitely going to get a lot of knowledge, and I am going to fire hose you, and you'll get wet in the process. But again, like I said, you'll walk away without thirst, because I will be able to quench your thirst as far as what we need to do and how to do this, because it's really not that hard. It isn't. The framers actually gave us all of the information necessary in doing what we need to do. That's why Jefferson and Madison did exactly what they did. Jefferson wrote about it, like I said, in the notes on the States of Virginia, and as well as Madison's comments in Federalist Paper number 49, as well as when the federal government actually violated the Constitution, they did exactly what they were supposed to do. And nobody knows what that is anymore. That's why I'm doing everything, and I need your help. I can't do this myself. And so we've got a little bit of time left, so please reach out and send some love to those candidates on my candidate endorsement page on reclaimingtherepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. I am Reclaiming the Republic, but I do need some help. Thank you very much, and I'll be back tomorrow. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.